Thanks, Lenny. Before we get into God's word, let's bow down our head and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy upon us, O Father. Lord, there are times and again that when we failed, your grace has pursued us and loved us and carried us, O Father, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us. Even as we look at this passage, we pray the Lord will help us, bless us, and build us in faith to trust you, to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Lenny mentioned earlier, we're going to continue our journey through the big gospel story that ties the entire Bible together, the redemptive story of God's plan for salvation. As we move through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we are particularly focusing on one key theme that runs throughout the Bible, the theme of meals. Meals in Scripture are more than just moments of nourishment. They are significant markers of, you know, God's presence and His promises and His invitation into relationship with Him. So these meals, we see God's redemptive story unfolding and inviting us to partake in the life of life that He offers us. That's why when we chose this, you know, it's not just to be interesting that we chose this meals, but it's more than that. With meal, there is something more important where you don't easily invite somebody to come and have meal with you. It is your personal space. When you invite somebody to come and have meal with you, you're telling them you are part of this personal space. I would like to welcome you to the space. I think in Leviticus, we have this peace offering that you take it to the Lord. And in that peace offering, part of it you offer to the Lord, and part of it the priest eats it and the people eats it, which means in that you're having harmony with God. So with meals, there is something very significant here. And part of it is, last 2 weeks, Lenny preached on, the first week he preached on creation from Genesis chapter 1, and then he spoke from Genesis chapter 3 about the forbidden eating from the forbidden fruit, the fall of mankind. And now we come to a very important part where the promise that God has given to Abraham, which is from Genesis chapter 12, I'll be covering that, but our focus today is going to be from Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 15. You know, after Adam's fall corrupted creation, we see God did not allow all humanity to perish in sin. Instead, He planned to defeat the enemy, the serpent, through His chosen descendant. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see the promise that has been given to mankind that I will put enmity between you and the women, and between your offspring, your seed, and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. See, in this verse that we see that God declares, He will put enmity between the serpent and the woman, which is that we saw that taking place on the cross when Jesus, the seed of God, dying for us on the cross, putting the enemy under his foot and crushed it. Though he tried to strike him, he came victorious for our sake. And that promise has been fulfilled in Jesus. But going back, you know, by God's grace, God had faithful witnesses on earth like Abel and Enoch, even before Noah. With Noah, God made a covenant to preserve the world from total destruction. Later with Abraham, he promised to do whatever was needed to ensure his chosen people would remain in covenant and receive the blessings of salvation, which is life, the eternal life in God, and also a place that we will be with God. You know, the promise that God given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, He calls Abraham, you know, from the after the flood, from the descendant of Noah, his first son, Shem, we could see Abraham. He calls Abraham. He calls Abraham and he says, Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household. Go to the land I will show you. This is Genesis 12, 1 to 3. And he gives this promise to him. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Which is, I will give you a place. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Which means, I'll give you an inheritance. You will have your own descendant that will make your name great. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. The nations will be blessed through you. So three promises that we see, which has been given to Abraham, is he will give him a place, a land. He will give him a descendant, a seed. And also, the third one is, nations will be blessed through you. And all this taken place in the life of Jesus. Because you might wonder, did Abraham, yes, God has blessed Abraham. He's been a wealthy person on earth. But that's not the main thing. But when you look at the history, from what the scripture says, I don't think Abraham really had a property of his own or land of his own. Maybe a small piece of land which he bought for his wife, Sarah, to bury her. He's a wealthy man. In scripture, Hebrews, it talks about verse 11, 39 to 40, says like this. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. In the Hebrews, which talks about the heroes of faith, people like Abraham, Isaac, and many others, not everyone who has been commended have received what has been promised to them, but they received it in heaven. So coming back to Abraham, I don't know whether he received really a land. And one of the important things about it is, see, the offspring that God has promised, the challenges he has to go through in believing and continue to believe in it, and God has to come keep on with his grace, with his mercy, to affirm him and reaffirm him. We see that in chapter 15, and we see that in chapter 17, and we see that in chapter 18. So now we come to chapter 18, where God reaffirms his promise to Abraham. In chapter 17, we see God appears to Abraham and speaks of this promise again and says, I'm making this covenant with you. I want you to walk in my ways and be blameless. And he gives him a command to be a covenant people, a chosen people for his sake. And then you come to chapter 18 and you wonder why God is reiterating, reaffirms the same thing to Abraham again. So that's what we're going to look at today. As we look at this, there are two important points we're going to look. One is Abraham's hospitality. How Abraham was hospitable to these people, these three men who came. And the second point we're going to look at is Sarah's wonder. Abraham's welcome is hospitality, and Sarah's welcome, that the struggle that she had in believing in what God has promised. So these are the two points we're going to look at. In the first one, we see the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said. get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. See, the first part of this passage we see, Abraham is sitting at the entrance of his tent under the great trees of Mamre. The verse starts, the chapter starts with God appeared to him. Previous chapter, when you look at, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. So the Lord comes to him, meets with him, and reaffirms his promise. And in this, you know, as he was sitting there, it's a hot day, you know, he's 99 years old. Usually, I think he should be resting at that time. Most of the things what people do in the afternoon, I think those days, I believe, surely they should be resting. But as he was sitting there, he looks up this 3 men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance. He could have just left them and did whatever he wants to do. He didn't do that. He hurried to them. One of the things I want to bring to your attention is, look at Abraham's attitude towards these people. He hurried. He invited them. He asked them to eat with him. He asked them to, you know, wash their feet, you know, rest, refresh. And he didn't wait there. He hurried to do this. And he goes to Sarah and say, "Can you make this?" And he goes to his place where he can find the best calf, and he brings it to his servant and say, "Can you prepare it?" And he himself brings all this to them and serves, and he stands there waiting. I was really touched by this when I was reading, because in our culture, in India, whenever you invite people, it's very different here in New Zealand, but in India, when you invite a guest, your guest is more important than your own family. So you make them to eat first, you serve them, you wait upon until they finish, and then you eat. You serve them first because they are your guests. They are more important than your own. And the way God has blessed this man, when you read the previous chapter, he's a rich man, he's a wealthy man. So many maidservants, male and female, so many slaves, so much the earth cannot hold. And this man, he didn't send a servant to do the work. He himself goes and does all the work. In his hospitality, what I see is, in the generosity of kindness to invite these people, the humility of Abraham. How do we serve? He said, "Come to my servant's house." You know, you might wonder, the Lord appeared to them, these 3 men. Who are these 3 men? Now, I can take time to, you know, explain this, but I'm not going to get into too much of detail. But the most common understanding among theologians is that one among them is the pre-incarnation of Jesus, the second person of Trinity, which is Christophany, they call that. So the Lord himself is there. And we can't go in detail about explaining this 3 men, but I'm not going to spend time on that. But here, Abraham inviting these people into their house, and by doing it, what is happening in his life? I remember sharing with one of our elderly couple. They said, "Alex, we are retired, and we go for this walk in the morning." They live in Conifer Grove, and they walk around. And they said, "Alex, when you go around in the morning, you know, we pray for this place. We pray for the streets. We pray for the people. We don't know what's happening in the lives of people behind these doors. We don't know what kind of struggles people are going through." And And he said this, it really touched my heart. He said this, one day, Alex, as we were walking, we were reminded that one of our friends who's been living in the street, we haven't visited for a long time. But as a practice here, we don't want to go to anyone's house uninvited. But on that day, as I was passing by, we felt to go and say hi to this person. But we were compelled, as the Spirit of the Lord is compelling me in my heart. But on the other side, I'm so worried to go knock at his door because we don't want to disturb their privacy. But still, we obeyed what was happening in our heart. And we went and knocked at the door. And a friend of us opened the door. And we said, hey, we don't want to disturb you. We just come to say hi. We are passing by. We don't want to disturb you. They said, no, no, please come in. The elderly couple as well from India. He said, no, we haven't planned anything, so we don't want to disturb you. They said, no, we would like you to come inside. So they went in, they spent some time, and he shared that, Alex, that moment when I went in, we didn't know what was happening in there. We just responded to what was happening in our heart. You know, God was ministering to us. We went and knocked at the door just to say hi, but we come to know his wife was struggling with illness that is going to take her life in the next few months. And they were literally in tears as we were talking to them. And God has helped us to have this intimate conversation with them where in the next few months we're able to spend some time sharing the gospel and witness to them. You don't know in those moments what God can do in those small conversations. But when you respond to what God is telling you to do, God can do great things. You know, sometimes what happens is, you know, as Christians, one of our struggles is there are people, you know, we are givers, we are generous, but sometimes we are not willing to receive. With some of us, there are willingness to receive, but not to give. You know, God disturbs our comfort and comforts the one who's disturbed. So God changes our heart. He wants us to keep growing and being matured in Christ to become in his image. You don't know in those moments what God can do. You know, you might invite somebody into your house to minister to them, but actually God will end up in ministering to you through them. I've seen that many times happening in my life. You know, we invite people to have dinner with us. Actually, they end up in ministering to us and nourishing our soul. And God, some of the most soulful conversations happens during those times when you're not expecting that. So don't miss that opportunity to invite, to be hospitable, to be generous, because that's a reflection of Christ's love, and you do not know what God can do in that moment. As we come to Abraham, so what I've learned here is this man is humility in trusting God, inviting them home. But in that humility, as he invites them, what happens in his life is something more important. That's where the shift happens to Sarah. As you look at, and my eyesight is really bad these days. Verse 9 says, "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child? Now that I am old, is anything too hard for the Lord?'" Is anything too hard for the Lord? "I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." And he said, the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. See, as they invited this people, these three men, the Lord is ministering to him and reaffirms the promise. The Lord speaking to Abraham. One thing I want to mention is about the scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, about the hospitality, which I missed. I just want to bring this to your notices. Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 2. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And we see that taking place in Genesis chapter 18 is what the author is writing in Hebrews. And as he invited this people and how God ministered to them and reaffirms the promise, the attention turns to Sarah. God has already reaffirmed, renewed his covenant with Abraham. You know, in many places in the New Testament, in the gospel, when Jesus is preaching to the crowd, when he is confronting the Pharisees are asking a question to Jesus. As Jesus is answering, it's not just Jesus and the Pharisees there. There's disciples who are learning from Jesus. There's a group of audience who's been listening to Jesus. There are people around him who've been listening and watching and learning and witnessing here. The same way here, when we look at this passage, as the Lord speaks to Abraham, as he's talking to him, we see Sarah behind them at the entrance of the tents, listening to their voice, listening to what the Lord is telling Abraham. You wonder why again? It's already been spoken many times. Why again? Because God is mindful of Sarah. God is mindful of Sarah. God cares for Sarah. He has already spoken to Abraham. And Abraham said, God, why don't you bless Ishmael? No. I have promised you that I will give you a son through you and Sarah, and you will have an offspring as I promised. And then comes the place where when the angel of the Lord, when the Lord speaks to him, Sarah could not believe it. It's too difficult for her to believe. You might say, oh, you shouldn't doubt God. My friends, I want to tell you, your doubt is not going to change what the Lord has in store for you. That's not going to provoke God's anger, but it provokes God's mercy and grace. Because the Lord knows your heart and he cares for you. In a patriarchal society, I'm not sure whether women are really cared for. But here, in this passage, God is mindful of Sarah. As he was talking to Abraham, the real audience is Sarah listening to this and say, and she laughs. Is this possible? Because she knows she passed her age. Bible very clearly says, the author mentions this, she passed her childbearing age. It's not going to happen. It's not that it's unlikely that she can have a child. It's impossible that she can have a child. But what is impossible for man is possible for God. Amen? I just want you to, I don't know whether you take the whole sermon or not, at least I want you to remember this. What is impossible for man is possible for God. And God is mindful of each and everyone. Amen? He cares for you. In a society where women are not been seen the way God has created them, but God sees you as a precious jewel. God cares for you. God loves you. And God is mindful of you. God is not seeing Sarah as somebody, okay, here is the promise to Abraham. Sarah, it's your turn to have a child. No. It's not just about the natural or the physical. It's about God is mindful of Sarah's heart. He wants her not only to conceive this child in her womb, God wants her to first conceive faith in her heart. See, God is not somebody, here is it, my promise, go and do it. No, he cares for you. And with Sarah, the beautiful word there is, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, in the original text it says, is anything too hard? Is it anything too wonderful? Is there anything too wonderful that God cannot do for his saints, his children? No. Because wonder, the word wonder itself has a curiosity there and also a disbelief. Why do you say it's so wonderful? When you look at the canyons in America or something so marvelous, you're like, my eyes can't believe this. It's so wonderful. There's a sense of disbelief in your heart. How is this even possible? Hear what she says here, the original text says, is it too wonderful for the Lord to do this? If God can create you out of the dust and give you a breath and bring you to life to worship him, is it too hard for him to give a child? It's nothing is impossible. And the scripture says, she laughs. The previous chapter you see, in chapter 17, you see when God reaffirms his promise to Abraham, Abraham laughs as well. Abraham laughs in disbelief. But God says, no, you will. And he believes and he trusts in the Lord. And comes to Sarah and God says this, to change her heart so that she will believe in the Lord. Because later when you look at chapter 21, she was laughing but looking at the impossibility. And later, you see in chapter 21, verse 6, it says, Sarah said, God has brought me laughter and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in this old age. She was laughing with disbelief, but God changed it because she named Isaac, her son, Isaac, which means he laughs. As God has promised him and given a name, Isaac, she named him Isaac, he laughs, which means I rejoice and people rejoice with me. You know, in Psalm chapter 30, verse 11 says, he turns your mourning into dancing. You have a time of your mourning and crying and weeping as you wait upon the Lord. But there comes a time, God changes it around and you rejoice in the Lord for what the Lord has done. Amen. You know, in Romans and in Hebrews, it talks about when it comes to Hebrews 11 and Romans chapter, it talks about the body is as dead, but God has blessed them. But you also see that fulfillment taking place in the life of Jesus. When Mary was conceived, she says, "How is this possible? I'm a virgin. How can I have a child?" With God, everything is possible. And she goes, and she goes and shares this with Elizabeth as she hugs her, and Elizabeth's pregnant, and she hugs her. The baby in Elizabeth's womb rejoices. And she says, blessed are those who believe. So it comes to a place, you know, God cares for those people, removes the disbelief, and helps them to believe in the Lord. And the promise which has been given to Abraham through the seed, the Lord will bless the nations, has taken place in the life of Jesus, and through him, the nations are blessed. And today, when you and I call upon the name of the Lord, we receive that blessing. And he changes everything. He does not see the way how the world sees us. And he does not charge anything. The world charges for everything. But when you come to Christ, all you have to do is trust in him, believe in him, and receive his blessing. And the nations are blessed through him. And there comes a time, one day, we will be with him, an eternal place, and also a place where God's presence, in that presence, we will live under him and will be his people. So, what is that we struggle with in our life? As I close now, I just want to say, if there is that anything that you are struggling in your life, I want to say, bring it to the Lord. God is mindful of you. God loves you. And there is nothing that is too wonderful that God cannot do. And everything is possible for God in Christ in your life. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Father, as we look at this passage, we learn two things, O Lord. Through the hospitality of Abraham, and we see how God reaffirmed the promise to his family and spoke to Sarah and blessed that family, O Father. For them to walk in the ways of the Lord and to be blameless, to do what is right and to do what is just. Lord, as your children, as a broken people, we come to you asking of your grace and your mercy upon us. Father, at times of brokenness and weakness, we pray the Lord will help us. When we see the challenges of our life, help us not to be worried and fear. Or let our hearts not be filled with disbelief, but to bring it all to you so the Lord will help us to trust in you and believe in you, O Lord. And use us as an instrument to be a blessing for the nations. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, Amen.